Turn with me, if you would, to the first chapter of the book of Matthew. And let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word made flesh today. In, with, and under, and through Jesus Christ. As we celebrate this season of his arrival, we also ask that you teach us in the midst of it to learn about his name, his presence, his being, everything we can about Jesus Christ. Through your Holy Spirit, teach us and help us to live now. Through his name, the Most High. Amen. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. So if you've had children, I don't know how you picked out the names for your children. A popular way to pick names is to find a baby book and go through the most interesting names and pick the one that sounds right. Maybe you have a family name that you have used throughout the years. As we talked with the kids this morning, my name means from the ocean. That's obviously not a very fitting name for me as far as its meaning, but for my family, it's my grandmother's maiden name. So my father had it before me, and now my son Morgan has it as well. Or you could pick somebody famous from history, like James T. Kirk. Not that he's in history, right? He's in the future. But James T. Kirk, the T stands for Tiberius, who was from history, the Roman emperor. Who knew? Years ago, I read the book Freakonomics, in which the authors make the argument that interesting names can make someone more successful. The more interesting your name is, the more successful you probably will be in life. You will stand out. And baby names trend upward and trend downward, and sometimes new names come forward, and then those names recede. I figure there will probably be lots of Beyoncés in this generation coming forward because she's famous. In my generation, the name that everyone had is like the song that Mike Dowdy from my generation sang. This song is called 27 Jennifers. I went to school with 27 Jennifers, 16 Jens, 10 Jennies. It's kind of like our church, I think. But some of those are not Jennifers, they're Virginias. But I sure did grow up with a lot of Jennifers. And I also went to college. When I got to college, apparently Northern Virginia, it was very popular to name your child Tara. And I think I went to college with 27 Taras. But they were all spelled differently, T-E-R-R-A, T-A-R-A. You could just make up the spelling. Those were the names that trended upward, and now they're disappearing. And they're names that no one has any use for anymore. How many men do you know today that are named Orville or Cornelius? They may come back into vogue, though. You never know. So when you're picking a name to last for every generation throughout all of history, this is going to be the most meaningful name that will ever be given. How do you pick that name? how do you name the Messiah? My seminary professor, Jack Dean Kingsbury, said that the key word for this passage is the word that's been translated as birth. That this is not a birth passage about Jesus. This is a naming passage about Jesus. The word for birth that's used here is the same word that begins the Bible, Genesis. It's the origin, not the birth of Jesus. It's an origin story. It's the origin of everything and everybody in Genesis. And here, it's the origin, not just of Jesus, but more specifically of Jesus' name. How did Jesus get the name that he got? And what is the meaning of his name? Translators so often want to have Matthew to have a story like Luke, the birth story with Jesus in a manger and swaddling clothes. But really, that story belongs to Luke. Matthew is more concerned about showing, is not so concerned about showing cute scenes with babies and moms. For Matthew, this story is about Jesus and how his name connects to the Old Testament and prophecy and the Messiah. This section of Matthew, according to Dr. Kingsbury, is about the origin of his name. The story tells us how Jesus got his name from Joseph, and that Joseph didn't pick that name from a baby book. He didn't pick it from his family. Joseph got that name from God. Naming Jesus is just as interesting as his birth. Now, on the one hand, you could give Jesus a unique name, one that everybody will remember and never forget. That name is, in most cultures, used only for the Messiah and no one else. To use this name is blasphemy. It's so revered. It's very close to the name of God. On the other hand, with the Messiah, you could pick a name that is so common that no one will ever forget it because everyone has it. John, David, Mary, Joseph, Ruth, common biblical names. If you gave the Messiah this name, then his name might disappear in plain sight. Everybody has this name. So the Messiah, drum roll please, the Messiah is named Josh. That's right, the Messiah's name is Joshua. I know that you thought it was Jesus, and it is, but that's Greek for Joshua. Jesus' name among his own people was super common. Everybody had that name. It would be in the top 10 baby names for Jewish boys in his own day. David, Solomon, Simon, Joseph, Joshua. So Jesus' name is really common. But at the same time, Jesus' name means everything. Joshua got his name in the Old Testament because it meant the Lord saves. Joshua and lots of people in the Old Testament either have Lord or God in their name somewhere. In giving Jesus the name Joshua, Jesus has one of the most classic names in Israel, named after the guy who took Israel into the promised land and the Lord God who saved them at the same time. It's pretty cool. The meaning of Jesus' name is no mistake. Who saves? The Lord saves. Not ourselves, not our great decisions, not our success. Our sins don't keep us from God. Evil does not win. The Messiah was sent by God, and God will win. The Lord saves us. God chose the Messiah's name because God wanted Jesus' name to be as much of a message as the gospel, the kingdom, the repentance, and the ministry that he would bring. Jesus' name points back to the most important thing, that the Lord saves. When we wonder who will be our salvation, Jesus reminds us that our salvation comes from the Lord, not from men or women, not from our good works, not from our goodness. The Lord saves, and the Lord's salvation can overcome all things. There's no one too bad, no one too sinful, no one too gone, no one too imperfect. Jesus' name is the very definition of grace. Salvation comes from God. God does the saving. And God is reaching out to the people from on high. The Lord has saved the people from the time of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. In every moment, God was doing the saving. In Jesus' time, God was doing the saving, and God is doing the saving now. In this way, the name of the Messiah is uncommon. The name of Jesus is a name that you never mistake, that you hear, and you know that He's the one. Paul affirms that God has elevated Him so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His name transcends all time and space. He is the eternal and cosmic Christ through whom all things were made. And He's inside the womb of Mary. Joseph plays an important role in our story. Joseph does not point to himself. He points to his faithfulness in the Lord to deliver his family. He wondered what to do about Mary's pregnancy. And Joseph protects a vulnerable woman and treats Mary with love and respect. Women in our society deserve love and respect and acceptance, especially when their circumstances are trying. The fastest growing population in our area today are single mothers. How are we as a church following the example of Joseph's acceptance? When we did our study in poverty last spring, we found that single mothers need to be reached out to in our community. One of the reasons we're doing our self-defense class is for that very reason, for women who find themselves in positions of vulnerability. The church must be the place that they can find strength and shelter. God has a purpose for every mother. And sometimes the Josephs of the world do not live up to their responsibility. They become violent. And Mary needs to be away from Joseph. It happens at every economic level, and it matters how we as a church respond. If Jesus and His mother came to us, how would we respond in acceptance of Joseph? In acceptance of Mary? How can we reject the thinking of the world and find the grace and mercy of God? I know what you're thinking. Joseph hears that the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You're right. What if Mary didn't have Joseph? What if there's no super special reason for Jesus? Jesus would say that it's even more important to save those who are in such circumstances. The Son of God knows that tenuous state from the inside. And Jesus knows and saw the cycles of poverty and hatred and loneliness that are at work in our world. Stopping this cycle, the vulnerability of the women in our society, can show others the real power of God to save. There once was a family that was having lunch in a diner. The two parents ordered their meals, and then the waitress turned to the child, and she said, "Little boy, what would you like to eat today?" And the little boy said, "I want a hot dog." Mom and dad immediately chimed in and said, No. We're not having that today. We need to have something good for you at this lunch. Have some kale for lunch today." The waitress turned and looked back at the little boy and said, "So I heard you say you want hot dog. Would you like anything else with that? Mustard? Ketchup?" He said, "Yeah, put lots of ketchup on it. And bring me a glass of milk too." She said, "Coming right up," and walked away. The parents were kind of outdone. How dare the surly waitress not give the child what they wanted the child to eat, but instead override their wishes. But the little boy chimed up as soon as the waitress started to walk away, and she said, "She's real. She can see me. I'm here." in Jesus Christ, in the coming of this season, God says that we are real. Not only is God coming among us in Jesus Christ to save us, but God is saying, you are real. I am here. God with us, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for your presence in Jesus Christ. That you do save us. Every time we hear the name of Jesus, we're reminded that you, the Lord, save us. Be with us throughout this season and help us to find ways to be compassionate to those in tenuous and frightful circumstances. For you were there for your people throughout history, but especially with Mary and Joseph, and you're here with us today to deliver us from anything that is at hand. Be with us through your Holy Spirit as we share your good news for all the world. In Christ's name we pray.